Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist to billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Elevating Beyond with a two-word mission statement, change lives. And today, listen, today's show, this is going to be freaking awesome. As always, I have, first of all, the co-author of the book you have to have heard of, the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, which, here's the part of this that blows my mind, even the backstory of that. It was turned down by 144 different publishers and then went on to sell over 500 million copies. This is craziness. My good man, Mark Victor Hansen, with his wife, Crystal Hansen, I have here together on the show, both from Newport Beach, California, and we're going to be talking about their book, Ask the Bridge from Your Dreams to Destiny, and so much more. So stay tuned as we get ready to jump on with them for this phenomenal show, ladies and gentlemen. And also, as I'm doing this, it's around May 14th. And just, you know, I've been letting everyone know through this whole COVID thing, this has been honestly one hell of a season for everyone. And I just want to remind all of you all, when they say this is the new normal, remember, it's not. This is the temporary new normal. It's a season. And in order to endure a season of pruning, always leads to a season of blossoming. So stay tuned as we get ready to jump on here with our guests, Mark and Crystal Hansen. And also, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as I pop my headphones back on here, we'll be sharing a lot more and getting into their story behind the story, as Crystal herself is a multiple best-selling author and has done so much coaching and speaking all over the world, not to mention the multiple businesses they have owned and do own together as husband and wife, which is going to be, I'm going to love talking about all those dynamics there. And we're just going to get into it all about the story behind the story as we do it, Elevating Beyond style. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Now, so I am here now with the lovely Mark and Crystal Hansen, as you already heard in both their intros, and you guys both have great, great lighting too, actually. It's looking good there.
Yeah, thank you. It's the first time we've been called lovely as a group. She's always called lovely, but I've never, thank you.
Very nice.
I don't know if I've ever called another man lovely before, but as a duo,
together,
you both look lovely.
Usually they call us formidable or something. Lovely.
Radiant. The lovely Crystal and the wonderful Mark. How about
that?
Thank you. And, you know, before we get into, well, we'll just be having a great conversation. I have my notes here, too, of your new book you have out, Ask the Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny, which is coming out at a perfect time. Obviously, both of you have a little bit of a background in writing. I think you got a couple books behind your belt there, a couple of bestsellers I mentioned in the intro, like something like 500 million or so, we'll say. But but you know, before we really get into it, in the time that we're recording this episode, just so everyone knows, it's around, geez, it's all a blur from, what is it, May 14th, May 15th, somewhere in May-ish.
Yeah, but the days sort of blend.
Yes. And this whole COVID-19 thing that I love how they posted like 30 days to stop the spread or whatever. When I'm like 30, it was 45. What, you just forgot about the first 15 before that? So it was 45 days at least. And now we're into mid-May. So it's like going into 2 months and every state is doing it differently. I know both, well, at a time we were both in California and they're having some interesting regulations there where it's like you can play racket, or not racquetball, but it's not croquet, but the other thing you hit over the net, badminton on the beaches, but not volleyball. And it's like, come on, like seriously, it's getting out of control. But in all seriousness, I love, we were talking about it too, about really pivoting for people to understand. Like, I think now we're really dealing with mindset. This is my opinion. I'm not a scientist, I'm not an expert, but for what I've continued to see with them analyzing the facts and the data, that it's getting really detrimental as things have stayed closed. I know just here in Ohio, the governor announced, just from being closed for the month of April, they were $1 billion short in the funding that they get. And that's mostly from taxes from small businesses, that you own multiple companies, so do we. And as we know, those fuel the economy in a huge way and are such a life force. So I'm just curious to know what both of you think about how this whole adventure is going on.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Mark, because as small business owners, you're right. Like, when you have problems, as a small business owner, I'll just relate it to that, there are always multiple problems, right? Not just one. So you learn as a small business owner, or as a parent or whatever, you're always evaluating and prioritizing your problems. And so when this first came out, there was this enormous fear because they didn't know what to expect. So they gave us these huge predictive numbers about how sick everyone was going to get. And I think at the point, the big contrast for me was when, at the point where we were supposed to have, so we all locked down because we're in fear, right?
Yeah.
And we said, yeah, we don't want millions of people to die. Of course, yes, you can lock us down. We want to save millions of lives. Well, then we were going along with the lockdown until the real numbers started to come out. Mm. And I remember seeing that at the point that only, I don't want to say only, but 30,000 people, we had 30,000 deaths. That was the point at which we were predicted to have a million deaths, a million versus 30,000. So now you're looking at different numbers and you should make a different decision, right? Because now it was looking more like the flu, but they didn't make a different decision. So, you know, our economy continues to go down and down and down. That's the other problem here. And no one seems to want to look at that or give it as much weight as the original problem. And that's, to us, that is a terrible mistake, because the fallout that we're going to see from ruined lives, ruined businesses, depression, suicide, children. We work with childhelp.org for abused children. Those children are stuck at home, locked in with their perpetrators because they can't go to school. You know, many other children, hundreds of thousands of children, aren't getting meals. They rely on the schools for their first and second meal of the day. So we aren't looking at all these problems equally and weighing them. And I'm hoping soon we're going to get to that point.
I'm with you 100%. You know, what's interesting, and I know so much even in your book asked, you know, as you talk about different points and times in your life when you really ask the right questions. People that I seem to be connected with, and I know both of you are like this too, as you kind of get to different levels, it's not that you're arrogant or you choose not to have negative people or negative, and it doesn't mean you're ignorant, but what you're allowing like in your mindset and being more factual too about this. And the majority of the people I know and that I've talked to are, don't say like what we're hearing on the media or the news, which I don't usually watch the news. I've only been throughout this because I've been wanting to keep up on what's going on as it relates to my actual company. But they act, it seems to be like this whole skewed thing that when you mention the flu, it's like everyone attacks, like, how dare you say that? You want everyone to die. It's like, wait, what? No, we're saying, if you really look at the numbers, it's pretty similar in a lot of ways to the flu, which, by the way, there was 176 million vaccinations given to the flu, and there's still an average of 30 to 50,000. That's direct from the CDC. You guys can check that out if you want. I don't just spit these out. I have to study them for my company. And that's where it continued to get really interesting. And now we're seeing it affect so many other people on so many different levels. And it's great for everyone listening to this too. Like, now is the time to be not only asking, but I guess how are you taking action throughout this? How are you guys doing this with the different companies and such that you own? I was reading in some of your bios that at times, I don't know if currently you had companies even in Hawaii. Do you still have? So how's it going with all that? Have you had full shutdowns there? Are they starting to open up?
So let me talk to that. First of all, let me go back and answer the first question you asked, like she did. There are three viruses, not one. First of all, there's a coronavirus itself. Terrible. Sorry that it happened. Sorry that it leaked out of China, as far as I'm concerned. That's pretty defined. Number two, there's the fear virus, which you've talked to. And fear is love in reverse. Fear is fate in reverse. Fear exploits the human soul in a negatory, debilitating, depressing, despondent, disconsolate way, which is why she's talking about multivariables of this. Yeah. And the third one is fear of the economics, which is a bigger fear, because the people we're dealing with, just like the people you're dealing with, when you don't have cash flow and you only had $400 and you spent it and then you uplined your credit card and now you're a have not, yeah, you've got to ask yourself some new questions. So when we're at, in answer to that question, I'll do one sentence on Hawaii, because I talked to our CEO yesterday. But Hawaii shut down, and our company is a device company to do pop-up windmills for urban wind and all kinds of, we have 250 cool devices to make us safely green and clean. And we own another company that does similar kind of stuff. But
how many employees do you guys have there?
There's
a small number. We outsource 13, a lot of them. Yeah. So we okay. have a small core group, because it's more like a research concept company.
Sure.
And then everything else gets outsourced. So we're still moving there.
Yeah, but we outsource to Caterpillar, who we love, but Caterpillar's got a state next to you in Illinois, close to you, actually two states away. But the truth is that the governor there, who is mismanaging as far as I'm concerned, won't let anyone come out. So you got 100,000 brilliant engineers in Peoria, 100,000 that aren't allowed to come to work. And you go, wait a second. You don't understand. This is a $64 billion company. It doesn't affect just little Peoria and just little Illinois. It affects literally the whole world, because up until now, they were able to get everything out. So if a truck breaks down in India that's a cat, 24 hours they have it served. They can't do that. So this is the third thing, you know, the economics of this are way more painful, because you've got 30 million that'll never get a job again in America. And we know a couple of people have committed suicide, and it just is atrocious. Yeah. No, any deaths too much. But the point is, everyone's got to work on their immune system. Everyone's got to rethink themselves. And now back to our book, Ask the Bridge from Your Dreams to Destiny. It is time to go inside and ask yourself, you know, we say ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. You got to ask yourself, what is my new right livelihood? Because what you said a minute ago, everyone's got to pivot. Everyone's got to reinvent themselves. Everyone's got to reorient themselves. Everyone's got to re-entrepreneur themselves, because everyone's got it, and no one's going to get through this unless they do.
Amen to everything both of you are saying. It's refreshing to hear, because you can listen to everything else, a lot of the talking heads, and feel like you're losing your mind, like you're the only one that's rational.
So true.
It is so, it's so spot on, and so much with that. And it's not open. People look, well, we'll hear it on the media, like you're just thinking only about money versus lives. And it's like, everything isn't freaking A or B. It's both. Like it's everything fuels each other. And even here with a $1 billion shortage, from the problem, not coronavirus caused, but the government shutting down everything and all the taxes the businesses pay. Now they're having to make all these Medicaid, Medicare cuts. And so now people aren't going to be able to get health care, which is like, it's such a catch 22 of way. I thought this whole thing, if you're talking about saving lives, like people, it's so, I don't, at least in, I've never seen a time in history where there's been so much media, and I'm all about social media, and you know, I have this podcast, we have 4 million listeners all over the world. It's a great time for communication. But also on the other hand, we're being overdosed by so much communication right now on just literally one thing. And I saw someone else talk too about there was recent findings of UFOs or something that the FBI put out. And someone's like, wait, do we not notice that we may have possibly, like, the FBI may have admitted to UFOs, but because of COVID, like, everyone's like, who cares? It has nothing to do with COVID.
Right. No, they are releasing some of those confidential files. But back to what you said, that statement of, oh, you just care more about money than lives, that's just an uninformed statement. Yeah. Because the effects of the economic shutdown are going to be far greater if you talk to any of the experts. Already we're seeing meat shortages. Okay, we're going to have meat shortages. We're going to have food shortages.
We're going to have famine.
And this trickles down. The sector of the economy that's going to suffer worst are the poorest. It's going to be the lowest sector, because they rely on, like, all the food banks rely on excess food. They get their food from excess amounts of food that gets donated. Well, there won't be excess amounts of food. Yeah. The prices are already rising for foods. And we talked about all the death rates and suicide rates. So it's just such an uninformed way. And I feel like it's almost like the media is hypnotizing us. It's all they want to talk about. Fear, 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 the death, the fear of death of COVID. The actual fear of the chances of you dying of COVID are so tiny, tiny, tiny. It's not bigger than the flu. Now you can find the real information.
Yeah, it's like 0.005% or something.
Right. And the largest sector of people dying are, and not that this is, they're not important, but it's very elderly people who already have major conditions. So, and then the second sector would be like diabetic, you know, underlying health conditions in some of the younger ones who have died. Other than that, it's the same as the flu. Now, we don't do this to the flu. We don't shut off our economy, devastate ourselves. So it's almost like some of the governors have gotten on this bandwagon. They're like having fun controlling us for some political reason. Maybe you have to, that's when you have to start asking questions. What is the reason they want to hang on to this when we know now the numbers are like the flu? So that's a big question. If we could say, you know, we say you get to the truth by asking, right?
Yeah. Ask, yeah. Hold that up. Hold that up one more time. Because I know you guys weren't able, I have the electronic copy, but that's cool. I like that. Because we post the video and audio of this. That's awesome.
Isn't that cool? So this is the hardcover, and it's just kind of a magical, we love the cover, and the artist did a great job, but it's Ask the Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. And we say that asking, you know, Mark and I, throughout our travels, we meet so many people, amazing people. And what we find is people are incredible. Like, they usually have way more talent, skills, ability, likability, and they want great things for themselves. But the one thing that sets people apart from achieving monumental success or having great successful lives, relationships, you know, career, is the ability to ask. It's such an important tool, and it's a tool we're all basically born with, but it kind of gets knocked out of us as we go through life, because life is difficult. You know, you're told to zip it up, shut up. As a child,
stop, you know, having curiosity.
Yeah, this beautiful curiosity, and you want to know everything, and you want everything as a child. And that's how human beings were made. We want more. We want to constantly. It's not bad to want to be rich. It's not bad to want more. That's our human spirit jabbing us, going, evolve, experience the richness of life. Those are all good things, but that gets shut down over time.
Yeah, you know, and as you both know, you're able to, with wealth, you're able to help more people and do greater things. And I want to get with your book, Ask, you both, there's a section in there where you each talk about fear. And I think this is such a pivotal time. You kind of each have your own different backstory that if maybe you want to share to where you were really facing this fear and adversity and what that was too, and how you sort of pivoted to asking and maybe even applying action that the listeners can do with whatever they're facing. Maybe it's through this COVID thing that they could apply, or any other adversities or struggles. I would love to hear from each of you. It would be awesome.
Yep. So in 1974, I'd been in graduate school over in Illinois with a brilliant guy named Buckminster Fuller. The guy did spherical buildings out of triangles, Einstein's best student, genius. And I tried to be him, which was a mistake, but I was building up plastic at the wrong time. 1974, the oil embargo hit, and the Arabs said, we can write checks so big your banks will bounce. And I, you know, lost $2 million in one day, and it was my best, worst experience. But for 6 months, I'm hiding under the sheets going, oh my God, I'm useless, I'm terrible. And I thought my self-worth and my net worth were the same. Now, everyone, that's incredibly important. Your self-worth has got to be sacrosanct. It's got to be critical. It's got to be what you put as a penultimate of who you are. Anyhow, after a while, I'd been asking myself, well, what do I really want to do? Is I really want to talk to people that care about things that matter that would make a life-changing difference. So, I got deep on myself and I said, well, I've been listening to a tape. I sold my way through college and university. This is what I want to do. So I went to my four roommates in Hicksville, Long Island, New York, and I go to breakfast and I say, hey, let me ask you guys, is there anybody that you know that's young, that's not a celebrity, not a doctor, not a lawyer, not famous, and is out speaking? And one of my roommates in real estate said, look, here's a ticket. You got to go see this kid. He's a few years older than you, but he's brilliant and funny, and he's in Hauppauge, Long Island, New York. I raced my little $400 beat-up old Volkswagen out there. This guy mesmerizes the audience for 3 hours. He's one of our best friends, Chip Collins. At the end of which I said, can I ask you to go to lunch with me? I'll buy. And he said, yeah, I love people. Give me a free lunch. I said, look, guys, I want to do what you do. He said, look, chance of you making it is 1 in 1,000. I said, those are good odds for me. I'm rejection proof, so I'll do that. And he said, I'll tell you what to do if you stay out of real estate. I own this market, but you can do life insurance. It's a bottomless pit, 90% turnover. You know, one of the three headquarters is New York City here. You'll never run out of business. You know, and I'll tell you what to do, but then I'm gone for 2 weeks. He came back, and first 3 years, I took massive action. That's a critical thing. You got to get clear what your destiny is. You got to ask yourself, what is my destiny? And if you don't know, you know, spiritually, before you go to sleep, 400 times, say, God, what's your destiny for me now? And it'll come through, but you've got to have pen and paper or something to take notes on, because when it comes through, you got to lock in on it. Anyhow, I did 1,000 talks a year for the first 3 years. The only two people in our business that has ever done that, as far as I know, is myself and Tony Robbins. If somebody else has done it, you know, and they listen to your great show, I'd love to announce who they are. But, you know, Tony and I took massive action. We both built giant companies. And then everyone kept saying, well, do you have that, you know, book? And I said, yeah, I got it in the book. And we started putting books together, and I've got 309 bestsellers. And, you know, I'm pretty good at that, and sold 500 million books. And my goal is to sell 1 billion, and we'll do it. So,
well, can I tell everyone real quick, Mark, too, that your Chicken Soup for the Soul, if this was right, I read that you were rejected because you said because this is such an important part of asking, because usually God kind of puts, people think if I just ask God and he tells me, then it's just going to, I write this book and it's going to get accepted because it's God's will for me. But no, you got rejected not 20 times, like not 50, not 100, but 144 rejections.
That's true. They all said, hit the road, Jack. And I said, look, it's okay if you don't like Jack, but I'm a really nice guy. And so finally we had a little publisher.
It was Jack Canfield's fault, right?
Yeah, it's all Jack Canfield's fault. Dr. Canfield's problem. So, and Jack's a third in his class Harvard, so he's a genius. That's not the question here. But the point is, we finally, our agent even fired us. Here's what, in two answers to your question. Number one is, I think God has a testing field, I'll call it. And a testing field is, you know, do you believe, because it's done on you according to your belief, do you believe with your whole heart, your soul, your mind? Are you willing to do it? And then the social media is the way everybody can write a bestseller. And if they go to my website, markvictorhanson.com, we teach you how to write a bestseller now, because there's not only 7,000 times you can do it in America, New York Times, but you got the London list. We sold 374 million books in China. There's a lot of market. And then the other thing that you alluded to is that the reason our books do so well is we tithe on every book. We give 10% back, and we agree to that before we even start writing the book. In Crystal's, in my case, and in the old days with Jack, when we started that seminar, and that, you know, because it opens up some possibility. And even though everyone said no, I knew it was going to work. And what happens is that the creator has to be greater than his or her creation is the bottom line.
Yes. Yes, yes. And Crystal, I want to get over to your story. You guys are speaking my. I like want to jump out of my seat and start doing fist bumps right now, because you're speaking my everything I've gone through at each level. It's you ask, God gives it to you, but you're tested, and it's the whole faith without works is dead. And that's put, it's like, do you believe that this dream I put in your heart that you've asked for is going to come true? And are you willing to persevere, whether it takes 1 year, 6 months, 5 years, 10 years, are you willing to keep pushing through? Because I've given this promise to you, but do you have the faith to keep going? And for me, it's like, I kind of feel this, it's not like this audible voice from the sky, but kind of like this pulling in my gut that there's a lot of times I'm like, usually a lot of times it's the harder thing too. And I'm like, God, no, like I throw in the towel, like I don't want to do it anymore. And he's like, pick it back up, dude. Like, I'm like, darn it. All right, God, I will. Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't go away. And that's what keeps pushing me forward.
Right, that white hot burning desire. And then the other thing is, because you did the first line, I'll do the line right behind it, is Apostle Paul said, faith is substance. Now, for some people listening, you go, come on, you're talking about something that's intangible, is tangible. Well, it's gobbledygook until you really think it through deeply. And I'm asking all of you to go to Hebrews 11, and it says, faith is substance of things hoped for, what we're talking about, and evidence of things not seen. In other words, when Jack and I cut out the New York Times, I interviewed the 101 best-selling authors. I knew how to write. I've been writing since I was 16. That's not the issue. I asked them how, I get goosebumps telling you, how did you market so many books? And I did fiction, nonfiction. I did Michener. I did Wayne Dyer. I did everybody that's anybody. Yeah. Men and women. Barbara DeAndres. We know all of them. And we said, look, it's substance, because it was in my mind. Because what you impress, you're going to express on a screen of your space, ultimately and inevitably, if you keep asking. Now I'll let my wife talk.
Well, I just wanted to follow up on this story because it's so cute. A guy named Charlie Green submitted a story for this book, and he had this experience. Mark came to speak to his church. It was somewhere in the Midwest. And he said, Mark gave this amazing talk at our church. And then he stood up with this manuscript and waved it around and said, I'm gonna ask you, this is our new book in this manuscript, and we're trying to get a publisher. And I'm asking you right now to pray for us that we will sell 1 million copies of this book. And I'm also gonna ask you to fill out this order form and put your credit card down. And when we get the book published, I promise you I'll send you the book. And Charlie said, it was so amazing. Mark believed in that, in his mission so much. And he asked with such passion that he said, all of us filled out that form. We gave our credit cards for a book that didn't even exist yet. So, I mean,
I love asking
and then having that belief in what you're asking. And like you were saying, following through with the action, because action is really part of asking. If you just ask and then you can't sit on the sofa and go, okay, I asked, where is it? It's like, we say you have to prepare to be a good asker. And that's, you know, you have to have belief in what you're asking for. That's part of preparation. You need to put your asking into action. And then we say the third part of that preparation is visualization. We tell people to start with the end in mind. We want you to start with your ideal vision of what you're seeing for yourself, because you need to form that up in your mind. As a transformational life coach and clinical hypnotherapist, I always say your world starts from the inside out. Everybody thinks that the world is happening out there somewhere. And that's the illusion we all have right now. Like, oh, the world's falling apart out there. And so we just keep looking out there somewhere for our direction. And it's the biggest mistake we make in life. Your world is created from the inside out. So stop looking at what's going on out there and decide what you're going to create inside of yourself right now. Go take some time with yourself and start asking the questions. Because remember, the three channels through which to ask is ask yourself, and then ask others, because you'll need others in your journey, and ask God, so that God can continue to affirm you and show you the direction, how this plan fits into the scheme of, you know, his whole universal scheme, his kingdom plan, all of these things. And when you start doing that, shut off that world out there and realize you're creating it from the inside, magic happens. It's really incredible.
Yeah, it's so true, so spot on. And I love what you were saying too about how it's inwardly, it's so much within you, it's so much in your mindset. And that's really what faith is. It's almost the opposite of what's going on externally, because what you ask for, and you're like, wait, nothing around my current circumstances are close to showing this giant dream that I have. But you have to be willing to keep putting in that action and going through it. And something I want to ask you too, Crystal, is Mark shared going through the bankruptcy and losing $2 million and overcoming that. What is something in your life that a story that you really had a low point that you had to kind of elevate beyond and apply this asking to that was pivotal in your life?
Yeah, Mark, I think one of my most challenging times in life was when I was very young. I was 21 years old, and I was one of those kids who found high school to be really easy. So I accelerated my curriculum. I graduated at age 16. I know it sounds crazy. And then a few months later, like the week after I turned 17, I married my boyfriend who was 5 years older. Mm. I know, not a great plan, right? So
that always works out.
Yeah. So 2.5 years later, I find myself, I'm in a new city all by myself, baby on my hip, divorced, and literally no idea how I'm going to support myself. No idea. So I did what I could think of. I applied for food stamps. And I remember getting those food stamps in the mail and going to the grocery store for the first time. And as I was standing in that line getting ready to check out, all of a sudden I had this huge epiphany, and it's like this light was shining on my head, it's, you know, in my consciousness. And this question dropped into my mind, like, how did I get here, first of all? And the next question that came up for me was, are you doing everything you can to get out of this, or are you taking an easy way out? And I knew immediately when I asked myself that question dropped into my mind, I knew the answer. I knew I wasn't doing everything I could to get out of this. So literally, as I was turning over those food stamps to the cashier for the first time, I already had this conviction. And I was saying to myself, she had no idea what I was thinking, but I felt so convicted. I handed them to her and I said, this will not be my future. This will not be my future. This is the last time I will ever do this. And I felt so much conviction from that. So I went home and thought, okay, I need to ask myself more questions. How do I get a job? How do I go to work tomorrow? So there were temporary service agencies like Kelly Girls, you know, Kelly Services. So I called them and I was like, how do I apply? So they gave me the instructions. I applied, and they would send you jobs every day, and you would decide if you wanted the job and you could say yes or no. Well, I realized that there were two other temporary service agencies that I'd heard about. So I registered for all three. That way I would get a better selection of jobs. So I started having these jobs come at me, and I was working at attorney's offices. I was working, setting up booths at malls. I was, you know, doing sales at conventions that would come through town. And so they would be anywhere from 2 days to 2 weeks, whatever. Some of them would get extended, the assignments. So I started learning something about myself, and I realized I was pretty good at business. You know, sometimes people would keep me on longer because I caught on to what was going on with small, you know, especially with small businesses. I could be really helpful there. And I learned that I was pretty good at sales. So from there, I made a decision to put myself through real estate school and get my real estate license, because I always liked homes, and I thought that would be a lot of fun. So in the meantime, a few people had approached me and said, you should be a model. So I thought, well, what do I have to lose? I approached the modeling agencies, asked them if they'd take me, and lo and behold, I got signed with the biggest one in our town. So I was cast for a couple of television commercials and they ended up going national. So a year and a half.
Just to say real quick, that happens to Mark and I all the time. We are always getting asked to model everywhere we go. So we feel your pain. I'm just joking. Go ahead. Sorry, Crystal. I couldn't.
You were so handsome. So it was irresistible model.
Fortunate. It was really fortunate. So literally a year and a half from the time I was turning over those food stamps, I was working for the largest home builder in our valley. I became the number one salesperson for our company. And I had these residuals that I was getting every month from my television commercials. And my son and I had Screen Actors Guild benefits, which was amazing because we had like the best insurance policy out there. So I thought about that and I still think about that time. Mm. I often think back to that time in my life because it was so difficult. I mean, it sounds easy now while I'm explaining it, but every night I was crying in my pillow. I was desperate, you know? It was a desperate time for me. And I think back, like, it would have been really easy for me to cave into that misery and my own victimization. I mean, I had all the excuses. I was by myself, young mother, no help, had a baby. How am I gonna do this? I had all the excuses I could have used. But I'm so thankful that I was able to ask myself those tough questions and then follow the answers, because that's part of it. You need to listen for the answers and you need to be willing to follow the answers, because those questions and the ideas you get, every time you ask, you get ideas, you get answers, you get a solution, you get a plan you didn't have before. Now, if you follow those answers and follow those ideas and those solutions, that becomes the bridge from, you know, your dreams to your destiny, just like we say in the book. That literally becomes the dreams to get the bridge to get you from your dreams to your destiny. And that's why we think this message is so important for everybody, because we all have those dreams in our hearts. We just need to learn to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. And something that both of you said, which is so, that I heard that's so important to the listeners, is as you each had your different like rock bottom moments, and of course that's not the only one, just so everyone knows, it doesn't just magically end, ladies and gentlemen. I used to think that like if throughout my whole story, we won't get it, the listeners have heard it 1,000 times, but I was in jail at age 17 and multiple DUIs and all this stuff, and I would think, well, I would see both you two and think, well, they were just born successful, they've never had any, they were just, it came to them easily, and you know, it was a total victim mindset. But and everything you both talking about that you apply in this, in one way, I don't want to say shame, but because it wouldn't be shame, but you both felt like this bankruptcy. I'm a single mom. I'm on food stamps. I don't want to be here again. Yeah. Like to be honest, you know, it's scary. You're at a low, and for people to say, well, you shouldn't ever feel fear or guilt, or I think actually you should feel that if it's in the right way that both of you mentioned, you were able to use that to almost fuel you to be like, to start asking these questions. How can I, what do you want from me, God? What can I do? And both of you have your own different journeys and adventures of how you continue to get there. And it's not always, it's you start doing something, as you were just explaining, Crystal, versus nothing. And it led to multiple things along the way that kept opening up through the hard work and the perseverance. But even now today, you talking about it, it's still important to, you know, you don't dwell on the past, but to look at those scars and remember them like as badges of honor and be like, when you're going through a struggle now, you're able to be like, I got through that and I didn't think I would ever get out of that. And if I made it out of that, then I can get through this.
Right. Let me just say one thing that I didn't mention on the asking God part, because I was praying constantly. And the message God gave me wasn't as much what to do as what not to do. I had someone approach me with this offer And in my naivete, I thought it sounded great. Oh, great, this will be easy money, I can do this. And God gave me this dream that showed me, it was a profound dream. And I realized the second I woke up what a disaster that choice would have been. So I didn't do it. And I did all these other things instead. Thank you, God. Because So sometimes the message when you're asking God is going to either be steering you towards something or showing you what you need to avoid, why that's not the path for you.
And I'm glad you brought that up. That's interesting, because that takes another level of faith to where you're like, okay, but what do I do? God's like, nope, I haven't shown you that yet. I'm just showing you, you have to have the faith to trust me not to do this, because this isn't the dream. I have something bigger and better for you.
When you're rope, you got to tie a knot and hold on until you find that out, because we're at the time for all of us, Mark, that adversity can be turned into opportunity. I mean, it's a Joseph and a many colored coat story, but in our book, the story we do is of Jim Stovall. Jim Stovall is 19 years old. He is a superstar athlete. He gets recruited to the NFL, his lifelong dream. He's 19. I get goosebumps telling you this because it's such a good story. And he goes, and the medical doctor says, hey, look, kid, I'm sorry to tell you this. This is the worst thing I've ever told anyone. 6 months from now, you're going to be permanently and forever blind. You are not going to be a football player. Well, now he's self-incarcerated in a little 9x12 room, and he's got a radio, a telephone, and a television. And he used to love to watch thrillers and watch somebody throw a right hook, but he can't see it. He's grumbling so much, his parents say, look, Jimmy, go down to the blind meeting. Maybe they can get you to do something. He gets to the blind meeting, and all it is an echo chamber of negativity, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Fortuitously, he sits next to a blind woman who is a court stenographer, and he starts telling her the story and says, somebody ought to do something about that. She asked him, wait a second, we're somebody. Why can't we do something? And that's the pivotal statement of this whole talk with you today, Mark.
Yeah.
Every one of us is at exactly that place. We're somebody. Why can't we fix something and get paid substantially for it? So he said, after he mumbled and stuttered, he said, yeah. And they created narrative television, which today is seen by 14 million people every day around the world, blind people, which you and I don't see because we're sighted, and pay $10 a month. So he has one of the biggest streaming services in the world. That'd be good enough if that was all.
Well, what's his name?
Jim Stovall. And he wrote a book. Awesome. So a guy calls me up, one of my close friends, Charlie Tremendous Jones, and said, look, kid, I know you're selling 15 million books a year. You haven't got time to breathe or go through a swinging door and miss one parrot in the door. Would you read this book? I said, man, I'm busy. He said, this is a book that'll change your life. So it's called The Ultimate Gift. And if you haven't read it, everybody, you ought to read it. And you say, well, you're recommending other books. Yeah, I love books.
Absolutely.
I love reading. Anyhow, I read this guy's book. I'm so wowed. I wrote the foreword to Jim Stovall's book. I wrote in the back, this book is so clear, so important, so critical to the world. It's got to be a movie. Stovall now says, if I live 100 years, there won't be a day in my life, I don't think, Mark, because I made $100 million with that movie. And a lot of people who've seen The Ultimate Gift as a movie love it. And so we interview him for our book, Ask. And the last line he says is, I now write books that I can't read. I now write movies that I can't see. And all of us are sequestered right now, government imposed worldwide. Not one of us, two of us, but 8 billion of us.
Yeah.
And we quarantined the wrong people, as far as I'm concerned. I'm very opinionated on what I'm opinionated on.
I'm with you. Amen.
You sequester sick people. You sequester people that are contagious, but you don't sequester. We're totally healthy. Now, back to a question you asked earlier, we're working our buns off to sell this book. And let me talk to that for a second in a different way than you've ever heard. We've got four books out right now with different publishers, and the publishers are all contracting right now. Like I've been in Random House, they do $25 billion a year. They just fired 8,000 people. This isn't okay with me. These are friends of mine. These are nice people. There's something else happening here than this damn disease. There's something bigger. And those of us, you know, we all in high school had to read Thoreau's Walden Pond and Civil Disobedience, and I think, and if you didn't read it, you want to read it, because we got a relative right now that's doing civil disobedience and has aggregated 1,000 people to fight the governor of California because this is nuts.
Yes, Elon Musk. I want to get him on. I'm going on the front lines with my. I'm going on the front lines with my employees. I'm going to work the assembly with them. If you want to come arrest someone, don't arrest them. Arrest me.
Right.
Because this is nonsense and we need to get back to work and they need to get back to work. And I'm going. Man, I love it.
The governor says, I'll come and arrest you myself, which is, I'm sure that I love Elon Musk. I think he's our greatest, most inventive, you know, people said, well, you compete with him and you're all, no, there's no competition in the world at all. I love Elon Musk. He's a genius and he's willing to take courageous stance and, hey, wait, you're violating the Constitution. You're violating my civil liberties and the civil liberties of all people. And we'll stand up. And by the way, Mr. Governor, I'm lawyered up and he'd better be, you know, this guy's $10 billion up or whatever he's up.
Yeah.
But he's lawyered at the best level. I would not want to be fighting Elon Musk. He's smart.
And he made a great point too, that a lot of people have died to fight for the civil liberties that we have here in America, probably more overall throughout history than this COVID has taken down. And those were given away far too easily. And, you know, what will be, this is another scar that I look at is not only how, not just COVID, but how we learn from this to make sure if like in the fall, the government's like, it's resubmerging, we're shutting it down, that people stand up like, no, you're not. Like, we're not doing this again.
No.
We're not going through this whole freaking shutdown game again.
No, because there's no justification. There's no real justification for it anymore. In the beginning, we all cooperated with these huge numbers they were giving us. Now we see that's all wrong. So what are we doing? Now it's become a political tool. And I think for all of us, we need to look carefully about who we're voting for. Who cares about our rights? Who would ever think that you would be charged with civil disobedience by going to work to take care of your family, to buy food and pay your mortgage, to take care of your employees who are also dying because they don't have food and they can't take care of their children. It's crazy. So who's willing to do this? Who's willing to continue perpetrating this lie on us? You know, thinking that we're stupid. We're not stupid. We understand the real numbers and the real facts, and all these other doctors that are being shut down, they're literally being censored and taken off YouTube.
They're pulling them off. I saw those guys from California, I think from Newport Beach.
Right, because all they're
Southern County. They're honest guys.
Yes.
Look, hydroxy, Z-Pack, and 30 milligrams of zinc, Z-I-N-C, you know, makes you better if you're sick, and the zinc alone will keep you well probably because the viruses can't live in metallics. Now, you can't OD it, but you cannot OD it. I mean, so the point is that we got to take things. So you say, well, what are you doing, Mark, for action? Well, what we've decided, and we'll ask you to participate, there's 800,000 podcasters in America, and God bless all of them, and we've been on 4 or 5 a day. So we're
That's awesome.
I'm going to figure out how, and maybe you can help us, Mark, get all 800,000 together and talk liberty, because unfortunately 90% of the media, and then almost 100%, because Fox just got bought by Disney and Iger's totally liberal. And so you got to say, hey, all the big guys are getting fired. And you go, whoa, 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 that isn't good, because at least they can think and they can articulate eloquently and say, hey, look, here may be another truth that you ought to look at, because you live in the perception of reality. And the perception was, it'll kill you. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to kill you, but a bad economy and no food will definitely kill you. So, let's make this thing work again, and let's wake up, America, and let's go back to where we were, which the only thing that works is capitalism and free enterprise, which I've written 7 money books, like 1 Minute Millionaire and Cash on Flash, Richest Kids in America.
Yeah.
It is important that everyone learn how to work. That's what made America great.
So true. And I'm all for, like, this is the real, you make the news versus watching it. And this is like, this goes to elevating beyond. I did my first episode sitting in my car with crappy, I didn't have a mic. I had again, God started putting in my heart, you're going to be sharing your message. And I had Dreamshine, my company, and everything else going. I'm like, come on, God, I dropped speech class 3 times. You got the wrong guy. And I'm asking, trying to talk God out of what he's putting in, but I always have learned to follow that. And so here we are now, and the studio goes to 54 different countries, over 4 million listeners. And that's what I love about us getting, and I would be all about connecting with all other podcasters and putting something out there, because this is a global message that a lot of the world's watching how the US is handling this, unfortunately, and they're following our same protocol, like where my sister is in Ethiopia. She runs an orphanage there. That could be a whole other podcast. And they're like, you have to do a stay home. And she's like, you don't understand. They're not going to have water if they stay home, because the people that walk 3 miles to get water, we're going to have to redig a well for our orphanage. So she started immediately having them redig a well. She's like, come arrest me, but I'm not going to let them die of not having water versus this COVID thing that is such a minor threat compared to everything else that's out here. It's ridiculous. So I'm all for getting on that and helping share the knowledge in a bigger way.
There's no basis in fact for this shutdown. And I think a day of liberty would be amazing. And it's, let me just say, this isn't just a partisan thing. It's not Democrats versus Republicans.
Sure.
I happen to be, Mark and I are conservative, but my younger sister has been a lifelong Democrat. And she is the one in California, in San Luis Obispo. She's protesting, she's out in the streets trying to get people, and she's realizing sort of this hoax that the government is perpetrating. And now her values have changed drastically. She said, I will be voting for very different people. I'll be voting in a very different way than I ever have before, because I realize I've been led to the slaughter and I'm never gonna do that again. So it's Americans coming together. We're a family. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. We need to work, we need to feed our families, we need to ask all the questions, because that's what America's about, you know.
And it's only America that has people like you and your sister helping out in Ethiopia. We love Ethiopians, and the point is, what I'm saying is, if everyone learns to ask, just like we're asking the Ask Challenge, I'll do one for our book and then one for the world and one for that, but we're asking everyone to get a copy of the book. And I'd love to tell you to go to a bookstore, but unfortunately the government has closed all the bookstores, which is not okay with me, because I love bookstores.
Let them know, where should they go real quick? So we'll make sure
they gotta go to Amazon. And then once they go to Amazon, send a receipt to reception@markvictorhansen.com, MarkVictorHansen, the Danish way. And what we're gonna have, honey, tell them.
We thought it would be really great to do the biggest book club discussion ever. So we're inviting people. So if you send a receipt from Amazon to reception@markvictorhansen.com, we'll send you an invitation to the book club discussion. It will be a private group, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We want to help people through their asking journeys. We want to discuss the principles in the book and how they apply to your life, because we need everybody to be a master asker. That's how we elevate the world, by helping people elevate their own personal lives.
And then the second thing is, I don't know exactly how to get all 800,000 of us to do what she just called the Day of Liberty, or the Day of Free, Breaking Free, or whatever we're going to call it, but we're going to figure it out. I'm telling everybody, I'm going to help figure it out, and I'll just be the fountainhead of this thing. Not that I wanted that leadership role, I wasn't looking for it, but this is the only way we can get the real messages out to the total public, and then write us at reception@markvictorhansen.com, and we'll answer.
I'm with you both, and I know a lot of people in this industry that would be more than happy to jump on that. So we'll connect and make sure we do whatever we can to make that happen. Listen, everyone, the book is Ask, the Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. I'm sitting here with a lovely Crystal and wonderful Mark Hansen. And
lovely to begin with.
This has been great. It's been refreshing to sit down here and talk with both of you. And this is such a perfect time for people to be reading your book and applying this knowledge and asking those questions and be willing to hear those answers of what to do and what not to do. and apply that action. Of course, your book goes way more in depth, the steps along the way. I love how you share other people's stories throughout the book. So check out the book. It's been amazing having both of you on. Is there anywhere else our listeners need to go to connect with you? We'll have it all in our show notes as well.
It would be great to connect by social media. I'm Crystal Dwyer Hansen, bit of a tongue twister, but you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and then of course, Mark Victor Hansen on all the same channels. We'd love to just stay in touch with people. Let's be friends. Let's stay.
Go to our website too. Our names are our websites, and they're pretty big and they're pretty robust. And we're really clear about what we're clear about. And we think most of your listeners are going to be clear that we got to go back to, we think the three values are, number one is you got to have high health, which is what we've been talking about here. Number two, then you have love. And number three is then you get freedom.
That's right.
And I wanted to offer one more thing. Crystal Vision Life is my website, and I do have a lot of audios that I've done, you know, guided visualization audios that really can help people through anxiety, depression, and some of those things, starting over their, you know, closed eye, that really deep subconscious work. So those are available on my website. Whoops. crystalvisionlife.com.
I saw that on there, Crystal, too. Actually, that was, we've gone through so much, but again, I like to just go conversation style, but that's going to be huge, everyone, especially I like that with anxiety and stuff right now in these times. Mark, what were you saying too?
I wrote a book that's free to all of you with a woman that I'm going to ask you to have on the show, Mitzi Purdue. This is Miss Chicken. They do 22 million organic antibiotic-free chickens a week. But we wrote a book called How to Be Up and Down Times. So we're giving it away free because we're saying here's seven businesses in this decade from 2020 to 2030 are going to do $50 trillion. We're going to refund the whole economy with these businesses, everything from trash to cash to robotics to cobotics to all this stuff. And I've written it up really clearly free because we want everyone to know how to do this.
That's awesome. That's great. And what was her name again?
Mitzi, M-I-T-Z-Y, M-I-T-Z-I, Purdue, like Purdue Chicken, P-E-R-D-U-E.
Okay. Great. And I'm sure recommendations are one of the best ways. We have blessed to have hundreds of people writing us a week to do shows. And what's usually, we only do shows now live with people coming here in studio. I have them booked through 2021 even. And I plan it ahead when people are traveling through, coming here through for different events or for business. Because, you know, Ohio's not always the first place on people's list to go. But it usually works out when people are book touring or for business. They're like, hey, I'll be flying through there. So we meet up, we sit down in person. But this has worked out great because we're able to connect and get you both on. This has been excellent. I look forward. I was able to catch a quick glimpse of your book before the show. But I look forward to getting the full copy of it, reading through it. I know my listeners will too. Again, the book is Ask, the Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. Thank you both so much. It's been amazing. A huge takeaway here today is, remember, stop dwelling and obsessing on the 24-hour news.
Right.
Yes.
Go inside your own mindset and go out there and make the news. You make your own reality. Don't allow reality to be made for you, everyone. And never settle, never give up. Keep elevating beyond.